This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
It sure is. Welcome back to the program. As we mentioned, hope you're having a great start to your working week. All right, just before we get to Zachy Bailey from Channel 9, Kramer from Brisbane says, my multi is alive. Well, that's great. Tell us what it is. Let us interact a little bit with that. Now, our man The Shadow across social media, you boys know after the Tunisia game, I wasn't sold on Arnie. The Denmark victory was good for a contract extension. But after the Argentinian game, stats, scored in all games, won two group games, matched Argentina, took it in his stride, get the checkbook out, says The Shadow, talking about Graham Arnold. Yeah, I think they say the same with Zachy Bailey when he struts around at Channel 9. Hello, Zach.
Oh, Jimmy. Good afternoon. Always great to speak to you.
That's what they say, isn't it?
Oh, they had a couple of peanuts laying around. I said, yeah, I'll take them.
Fair enough. All right, we're a bit flippant now, but we shouldn't be because, unfortunately, we've had the passing over the course of the weekend of a bloke who's just synonymous with rugby league, such an innovator, such a thinker, Paul Broughton, OAM. I'm just wondering, did you ever have any interaction with Paul, Zach?
No, I didn't personally. Firstly, as you said, you know, condolences to his family and friends and I guess everyone that he's influenced, which are a lot of people in rugby league. But It's one of those people that after they do pass and you start hearing stories or you start reading up on their impact on the game, you wish you, whether it was one conversation or you bumped into him in a tunnel or something, I wish I had that opportunity to meet him. And, you know, he's been described as a giant of the game, especially in Queensland, you know, Gold Coast. I guess if I grew up as a journalist in that area, maybe I would have crossed paths with him, you know, the founding chairman of the Gold Coast Titans. And his name will live on as, you know, the Gold Coast Titans' best player every year gets the Paul Broughton medal. So, age 91, I guess what I found staggering is, you know, as soon as I heard whispers about him passing, I think I saw a Phil Gould tweet. I typed his name into Twitter straight away. And 2 days ago, he was tweeting about the Socceroos' success in Qatar. And I was like, here's a guy that, you know, to his last day was passionate about all sport and interacting with fans and saying how good it was to see another Australian team on the world stage be successful. So a lover of all sports, but his impact in rugby league, given what I've read and what I've heard over the last 24 hours, is just phenomenal.
Whilst you're on Twitter, and actually concur with all you said there around Paul Broughton, did you happen to see the tweet from Matt Cooper, who I'm sure it was a desire to not make a scene at the event that led to the motivation of putting a post on social media so it could go to a much wider audience? I thought this was a bit of a strange one, Zach. What did you make of it?
Well, as a journalist, Mr. Matt Cooper has just dangled the carrot in front of all rugby league journalists around the country, especially those in Sydney, because as soon as I saw it, you know, we're all sending it around to each other at 9 thinking, you know, geez, what's this about? But a couple of colleagues tried to reach out to him and he said, look, I don't want to talk about it anymore or go into any more depth than what I have. Yet he's chosen a platform to dangle that carrot in front of fans, media types like myself and you, Jimmy. And it's very intriguing. And I guess the most intriguing part is that he said the truth will come out next year. So next year's not too far away, so maybe Matt Cooper's phone will be running hot from January 1. But we still don't know in terms of details, but he's obviously going to be happy on his terms to reveal it. But I agree with you. It's a strange platform and way to address an issue that's obviously deeply personal for him and something that he's been holding close to his chest or in a private little, you know, scenario or circle for the last 10 to 12 years.
I spoke to a source yesterday who's pretty well connected down there. So obviously there's an issue with Peter Douse, the former CEO. It's so unfortunate that something like this is going to prevent someone from celebrating probably a career highlight with the teammates from that point. The reference to another player was intriguing and that was a little bit strange. But it's just a really sad story that, you know, the problem with social media is half the people. So I read the comments afterwards and half the people were saying, good on you, Matt, stick to your guns and applaud you for your stance. And the other were, well, why don't you just be adult about it and go to the event and just stay away from those other people? It's a really, really sad situation that he can't enjoy that success that he had as a player with those teammates some 10 or 12 years later. What about Jason Demetrio? We like to sneak it in here because of Coach K. There needs to be a Rabideau story on a daily basis. But are they in a quote-unquote much better position now than 12 months ago when the Adam Reynolds saga was raging?
I think so, given what we saw them produce this year. Like, personally, I think they overachieved in terms of their success and their run all the way through to, you know, one win from the grand final. The whole thing is that hurdle that, you know, obviously 2 years ago they got into a grand final. Again, there was another prelim final loss. But everyone, you know, was questioning before 2022 started was, you know, will the Bunnies make the finals?
Yeah.
Will they make the top eight? And, you know, a rookie coach, essentially a rookie halfback who had only played, I think, one game this season before.
Yes.
And you're losing one of the best game managers and best halfbacks kicking game in the league. So I think the signs are promising. And the most promising sign is that a fit Latrell Mitchell won't miss, you know, the first 8, 10, 12 weeks or whatever it was of the season. Hopefully we'll see him all the way through because he's the key for the Bunnies. I guess the only thing I will say is their ability to retain and hopefully in the next couple of weeks from their club's perspective, the likes of Walker and Cook and even Latrell to extend those guys, like that can really be a slingshot into next season for the Bunnies. If they secure all these players long-term, there's settled news in terms of around their big stars going into next year, and there's not all, you know, talking points in this cloud hanging over these players' futures. So as long as there's no off-field distractions, I think the Bunnies will be competitive again in 2023. Can they go all the way? Well, we know there's a lot of footy to be played between now and October 1 next year.
You make a very good point because those players are now available to talk to other teams. Latrell Mitchell, Cody Walker, Damien Cook. We hear nothing about that. In fact, we're just waiting for the stage managed releases that come out saying we've signed this one and then we've signed this one and then we've signed this one from the South Sydney Rabbitohs and well within their rights to do it. Not the case for the Parramatta Eels. Now, Mitch Moses, there's been talk from Michelle Bishop this morning on this network that the Bulldogs will not get in a bidding war with Mitchell Moses. What's the latest you're hearing there between the Eels, the Tigers and the Bulldogs?
Well, we love the term bidding war in rugby league, don't we? It's always juicy, you know, this player who's the key, I guess, for the Parramatta Eels. Everyone or a couple of other teams want a piece of him. And I guess that's rightfully so, given, again, in terms of overachieving, I guess the Eels, you know, they silenced a few critics by making their way all the way through to the grand final this year.
Yes.
Look, I don't know whether he's worth $1 million or not, but his manager is obviously going to do his best job to push out there to journalists and other types that there is a big bidding war out there, and it might not be too favourable for the Eels in terms of their fans, but it creates a lot of headlines and interest, and as long as Mitch Moses has been spoken about by us or his name's in the paper or whatnot and people are talking about him, then I guess it helps the whole discussion around him and what he is worth. So, look, I don't know where it stands. There are teams, you know, the West Tigers, the Bulldogs, the Eels obviously want to retain him, but they're the three clubs that have been thrown up at the moment. He is a free agent. Again, the Eels will want it done ASAP. But on the flip side, his management might try and drag it out and try and play clubs off, you know, against each other, create an even bigger bidding war and get more money for his client and for himself.
Would you pay $1 million for Mitchell Moses?
Jimmy. I'm not in a qualified position to make that assessment.
But you're an opinion. I have an opinion on this. And in the present market, for certain clubs, absolutely I'd pay $1 million for him.
Yeah. I think that's right. I mean, we have seen play. I mean, look at Ben Hunt, for example, like heavily criticised for the deal that he signed with the Dragons. And I know they haven't been successful in terms of a team, from a team perspective over the last 2 years. But what could Ben Hunt have done more this year, especially, to try and get the Dragons into the finals? Like, is he worth $1 million? Or what he has shown, yeah, I think he is 100%. But all the cogs around him aren't clicking. And there's, you know, whether it's the coach or the use of young players or veteran forwards that, you know, might be past their best. You need a lot of things to work. So Mitchell Moses, he's there or thereabouts. Whether he gets 950 or one, that's up to the manager and the club that's willing to pay it.
The other thing about it is too, I would be of the firm belief that the best football is ahead of Mitchell Moses. So if he goes to a club, you'd have to think, hey, we think we can still improve this guy. What is he's only just turned 28 years of age. So and this is one for Bulldogs fans. If you're thinking, oh, we need to get Mitch Moses and we're not getting in a bidding war, it doesn't mean, just because you're not getting in the bidding war doesn't mean you won't potentially end up with Mitchell Moses. So you can think about it from that point of view. Zachy, as always, I know you're busy today too, so appreciate your time, mate, and we will speak next week.
Sounds good, Jimmy. Appreciate it. Have a great arvo.
Yeah, same to you. Zach Bailey there, he's a good one. He's from Channel 9. He's also a Coco Magic ambassador. I think I better get some more Coco Magic out to him. So thumbs up on that one, Coach K. All right, news now, and then we're back with more. Stick around. If you're enjoying this podcast, make sure to tune in from midday, Monday to Thursday, till 3 p.m. on 1170 SEN.